Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Cult Britannia Cultcast. In our first Cultcast from cultbritannia.co.uk, I, Christian Corley, editor, will be discussing the possible, potential, and hopefully probable remake of The Saint with Ian Dickerson. Me a few weeks ago, or a couple of months ago now, about The Saint, because we had a couple of articles. I think it might have just been one, but there's actually two pending, and one of them I've still got there to, I've been sort of like hanging on to before, until I spoke to you.
Right.
And we were kind of wondering what happened to the remake that was sort of touted and promoted as a sort of YouTube clip last year, and you told us that you were involved with a new remake.
Yeah, what happened, and I'll try and keep the story relatively short because I've gone for hours about this sort of thing. Last January to March, we were in San Diego, LA, and Switzerland to make a 60-minute pilot, which is what the clip is of on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We then took it to Cannes in May to sell it to international buyers, and we got a great reaction. We got many potential international buyers, but as I'm sure you're well aware, for TV sales, the US and UK are the key markets.
Mm-hmm.
We did, I think it's fair to say, we struggled a bit to secure a US or a UK network. It was a pilot. It wasn't, you know, it had its problems. It wasn't perfect by any way, shape or form, but I certainly thought there were the seeds of something half decent in there. And indeed, when you look at some of the pilots of so many American shows that you see nowadays, it was certainly a lot better than those. But we did struggle to get either networks on either side of the Atlantic to go for the show. Just as we had some significant interest from a US network, Adam got the job on Tyrant. So we lost our leading man.
Right.
Which is typical, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, I can't blame the guy. He's a lovely guy and, you know, he's in the business to work.
Sure.
So I really wouldn't fault the guy at all for taking that job. It's just one of those frustrations of the business. Now, the guy behind that pilot is an independent movie producer called Brad Crevoy, who, if I'm honest about it, has been really, really good to The Saint, because he has been very upfront from the start about wanting to honour the original character, yet bring it into the 21st century. We have had so many approaches over the years from people who want the brand but not the character, or Brad wants both.
Right.
He wants the brand and the character. So Brad, bless him, wasn't about to give up. And we went back to square one to try and find a showrunner, a writer, someone who had what we deemed the right sort of vision to bring The Saint back on TV in the 21st century. And we were steered in the direction of Chris Lunt, who you may or may not be aware of, wrote Prey, was on ITV recently.
Yeah.
Read the scripts for it, thought it was really good. Brad met him, thought he was a really nice guy, had some great ideas. So Chris and Ed Whitmore, who is a fairly well-known UK writer, he's now decamped to Hollywood, spent a few days together, came up with an outline for the pilot episode, and Chris is now, hopefully, busy writing it.
Okay. So what's your role in this, Ian?
Oh, I kind of stick my tongue in my cheek and say general pain in the arse, really. My role is, I don't don't know what my role is. I mean, strictly speaking, I'm a co-producer on Adam's pilot.
Right.
And I'm guessing I'll end up with the same sort of credit on whatever goes forward. In many ways, I'm kind of the public face of the estate of Leslie Charteris.
Okay.
I knew Leslie for a few years before he passed away, and his widow and daughter are some of my best friends to this day, but, you know, his widow is 92, his daughter is 80-something. You know, they don't generally do the internet.
Sure.
So I'm the one sort of who's been out there dealing with licensing inquiries, anything to do with that sort of thing. And I guess with respect to the TV show, my job is to make sure that whatever they come up with, I don't want to say honours the original character, but is recognisable to fans either of the books or the TV shows.
Okay. Now, I've been refreshing my Saints knowledge over the past, well, since we last emailed to arrange today. Really, my exposure to the Saint is largely, with the exclusion of a couple of Roger Moore colour episodes, was largely the Return of the Saint.
Yep, same here.
Which I've got the original DVD box set of rather than the remastered one. And so, earlier on, I just watched the very first episode of the Saint. And there's obviously differences between the original TV Saint and the second TV Saint. But then, of course, you've got the books and the comics and you've got the old films.
Definitely.
So there are a lot of fans of the Saint and there are a lot of different aspects to the Saints and fans of specific particular aspects. How do you deal with that when you're producing a new version? Are you trying to, I know you've partially answered this, but are you trying to appeal to all of those fans or just a specific direction of those fans, or are you playing for the mass market?
It's complicated, because, you know, between books, films, TV, radio, comic strips, there's been a lot of incarnations of the Saint, but perhaps the best example I can give you is the book Saint.
Mm-hmm.
If you read, what are there, 50 English language books, and if you read from the first one to the 50th one, there's a distinct evolution in the Saint's character. All of the Saints, and from in the books, and indeed even the adaptations, they're product of their times.
Yeah.
You know, so George Sanders was very much of the 40s, Vincent Price was of the late 40s, early 50s, you know, Roger Blessing was undoubtedly from the 60s. You know, you couldn't put it in any other decade. You couldn't do that with Ian either. Excuse me. So I think what we've got to do is we've got to come up with a Saint for the 21st century, which it's not an easy job to do because, you know, I mean, nowadays, mobile phones have never featured in the Saint episode before. Now, how do you deal with them? How does the Saint deal with them? You know, does he spend his life online? Does he not spend his life online? It's an interesting question to tackle. But also in doing that, we have to recognise, I think, that a lot of people's perceptions are from the TV Saint. So, you know, there will be an expectation that there will be certain key elements of the TV Saints, let's say, I better be honest and say Saints, that will be brought forward, whether it be, you know, the halo cheesily appearing above the head, the theme tune, a Volvo P1800, a Jaguar XJS. Don't entirely know yet.
Okay.
But there will be elements in there to appeal. But I think perhaps the biggest thing all along, and I think it's honestly the one thing that was missing from the 80s Saint and the Val Kilmer film as well, is the humour. You know, there is an approach to the Saint's adventures, be it in the books or on the TV shows, that was never really brought out in the 80s and 90s, and I don't really think is on TV nowadays. And I think if we can get that right and get the stories right, I think we'll find an audience.
Okay. And certainly, watching that first episode earlier, there was certainly a laugh-out-loud moment, which I can't actually quite remember what it was now, but I was certainly amused by it. Now, there's that other thing with the classic ones, where you have this the kind... I mean, you talked about the halo being cheesy, which I don't really think it... I think it might... Personally, I think that's the Saint's sonic screwdriver. That's his, you know, that's his calling card, isn't it? Like visually, yeah, as a visual, you know, striking visual emblem for the viewers. But what I was going more towards was the addresses to Cameron, things like that, which also might be kind of considered to be cheesy. That would be something that you'd possibly not include then.
I think. I mean, to be honest, I love the voiceovers. I love the addresses to camera, and if you can do them properly, I'm all for them. The reason I say the Halo is cheesy is simply because I can't figure out a way that you can do it in the 21st century and not make me cringe, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I love the idea. I mean, Bob Baker used to say, you know, that Roger Saint broke the fourth wall because he wanted to take the viewers into his story, into yeah. his world, and take them on the journey. I love that idea. And I think, you know, if you do it properly, like the Saint did, like Lovejoy did, and other shows like that, I'm all for it.
You need the right actor for that, then, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you need two good things to make a Saint show. It's the right leading man and the right script. And with Adam, we had the right leading man. The script needed a bit of work.
Okay. You're probably not going to tell me who you're looking at to star in.
I can, because I'm not looking at anyone yet.
Okay.
Very nice. Literally, you know, we've gone back to square one. Chris has a few weeks to write the first draft of the pilot script, and then we'll see where we go. Chris and Brad went around a lot of the UK networks a few weeks ago, and the reaction was very, very encouraging. You know, as I say, Chris is a lovely guy, and he grew up watching Return of the Saints, so he's obviously of our generation. And, you know, I don't know what you thought of Prey, but I thought Prey was just a damn good story.
I thought it was marvellous. I'd have preferred, the only thing I didn't like about it was that it was all over consecutive weeks. I'd have preferred it over 3 days.
Yeah, they could have done better on that, and I think they could have done better on the marketing of it as well. Mm. But, you know, Chris, I don't think he hid it from the outset that it was, you know, inspired by The Fugitive.
No.
Certainly, I think it was about the second thing he told me about it, and you could see it in the script.
Sure.
But, you know, at the end of that final episode, you know, his power of storytelling is such, I wanted to give my kids a hug. And for me, you think, that's a bloody good writer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and same with Ed Whitmore. I mean, I loved Waking the Dead, and there were... You know, the reason Ed Whitmore's name stuck in my brain was because there's more than one of his episodes where I sat back and thought, wow, what a story.
Yeah, good show that.
And, you know, if you can sit back after watching something and go, wow, you think they got it right.
Yeah, they're the only two guys involved, aren't they?
At the moment,
yes. At the moment, yeah. Now, I have a friend who's kind of a lot more into the sort of classic Saint than I am, and he has a couple of questions which you've already answered. But there's a couple of things about the character, and whether or not you have an answer as to what might occur with this or not, I'd be interested to hear what you think of it.
Okay.
Is there any chance of there being a more development on the background for the Saint, why he travels the world doing whatever thrills him and getting him, and why there's so many cops watching him?
I think there's a chance. I mean, I think the honest answer at the moment is I don't think Chris and Ed want to put it in the first episode.
Sure.
I don't think we can avoid tackling it. You know, in this day and age, you have to provide some degree of backstory.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, to be honest, is kind of where we fell down a bit with Adam's pilot. Because there's a whole Knights Templar background, which I protested against, because to me it's just lazy storytelling. So I think we will end up having to tackle it at some stage. How we tackle it and whether we tackle it, dare I say seriously, is a whole other question that I just don't know the answer to. I mean, when I say whether we tackle it seriously or not, there was one potential showrunner who pitched the idea, which I kind of like, that, you know, people keep saying to the same, why do you do this? Where do you come from? You know, and he just gives everyone a different answer every time,
because
mm-hmm. he's not going to take it seriously.
Sure.
So I don't know at the moment is the answer.
Okay, what did you think about Ian Ogilvy's having been a mercenary, as was suggested in one or two episodes?
I think there's elements of that in there. I wouldn't necessarily shy away from that idea, particularly in this day and age. I mean, you know, I have no doubt that, you know, in the first book, Meet the Tiger, the Saint was just the Saint, and Leslie never really gave a moment's thought to his backstory. But certainly in the way the world has evolved the 70s onwards, it's not entirely out of character.
Okay. We talked about cars briefly. I don't want to get way bogged down with cars, to be honest with you. Will it feel more like a team show than a solo lead show? We saw in the trailer that he had a companion with him, who it was kind of maybe suggested through some literature somewhere, I don't know where it came from, that she might have been a if it had gone ahead, she'd have been like a permanent companion. Would that be this along the same lines with what's been developed now? Or would it be a solo lead?
I think the focus will be more on the lead rather than... he will undoubtedly have to have people to play off.
Sure.
And the character of Patricia, which was Eliza Dushku's role in the pilot, dates back to the first Saint book.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not exactly breaking form there. You know, certainly they didn't feature her in Roger's show because they wanted the Saint to be a bit more romantically free. And I understand that. At this stage, I don't know. I know Chris and Ed would like to keep it more focused on the Saint than the Saint and Patricia, because so many, you know, there's been a lot of shows in the last, I don't know, decade or two that have trod heavily on the Saint's territory. And I think possibly one of the problems we had with Adam's pilot is when you look at Adam and Eliza, certainly being the sort of geek I am, I looked at them and thought, oh, hang on, we've got Burn Notice here.
Right, yeah.
You know, and we've, people have been there and done that, so we'd have to find a new spin on it anyway.
Okay, okay. So, as things stand at the moment, you're it's just in development at the script stage, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, do you have a kind of a road plan as to how that's going to progress and then move on to the next stage? And I mean, when do you expect to have something in production?
The hope, and I'll phrase this carefully,
yes,
is that Chris will have a few more weeks to write the pilot script. It will then obviously get circulated around all the interested parties with a view to then, I don't know, it might be slightly tough because obviously summer everyone goes on holiday, so whether key people will be in the office or not, I don't know. But with a view to then securing, a network deal, with a, then the hope that, you know, we can start film production on it later this year.
Okay, so you're taking a different approach this time?
Yes.
Right, I see. When you talk about a network, we're talking about a UK one?
UK or US, I mean, we still have an offer from a US network on the table.
Right.
That's not to say it can't be changed, improved, sure, whatever.
Okay. I'm quite excited by this, so I imagine you should be, as being a lot closer to it as you are, you must be pretty excited yourself.
I am excited because, you know, at heart I'm a fanboy, and you know what drives me through all of this is just I want to see more Adventures of the Saint, or read more Adventures of the Saint, and if I'm involved in it, great. If I'm not, I don't care, because I still get to see these damn things. What I think I find fascinating is that so many people who we've talked to about this, for whatever reason, have said, yeah, the Saint should be back on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few people have said, I have no idea how the hell you do it, but it should be on TV. And I think at its core, they're probably right. You know, that idea of a freelance adventurer is just ripe for reinvention, particularly with the UK focus rather than the US focus.
I'd like to see that. I wrote a story many, many years ago, a short story for a women's magazine, long before I was ever considered a proper writer. And it got turned down, but it was essentially The Saint, and I hadn't realised until I reread it about 5 or 6 years ago. I just stumbled across it and I pulled it out. Oh, he's the Saint, isn't he? It was basically about an adventurer who helped the less equipped. So it was a bit of a surprise. I think it's one of those. There's a Robin Hood element to it, isn't there? There's just like a stranger who comes along and helps people. That is kind of, I don't know whether it's been romanticised by Robin Hood, but it's kind of in our culture.
Definitely, and I mean, one of the things I'm writing a new Saint novel at the moment,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things I used to sell it was just the line of, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was a real Saint out there, someone who would come, you know, who would find you when you needed help and help you. And you think just that whole idea, that very simplistic core of the character, it just appeals to everyone, and I think it appeals throughout the ages, which is half the reason for the success of the character.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have any more questions about the TV show as it is at the moment. I don't know if there's anything that you think I might have asked you and didn't.
Not really. I mean, I think you've covered it fairly well. I mean, you know, to be honest, there is no great headline news story at the moment.
Sure.
Other than the fact that Chris is hopefully stuck up in his office somewhere writing it, you know, as we speak. And you know, like I say, Chris is a damn good writer, and I can't wait to see what he writes.
Okay. So, if I could just ask you one more question. Well, two. Mm-hmm. I'll ask you two and see if you answer the second one. What is your favourite Saint story?
Oh.
And I know you've got a vast selection there, so you feel free to just pick a particular medium if it's more easy.
I think, partly for personal reasons, I would go for the novel of Getaway, The Saint's Getaway.
Okay.
Reason I pick it is because it's typical Saint, you know, there's duels involved, there's a good chase stuff in it, there's an obvious bad guy. But because I remember my eldest brother, I must have been 7 or 8 at the time, and my eldest brother was reading a sample from it, and I just pissed myself laughing. And it was that sort of passage that got me into reading the books, and once I discovered Charteris's writing, there was no hope for me.
Okay. And what's your earliest memory of the Saint? Is that, or is that it?
No, I think my earliest memory would be watching Return.
Okay.
At the age of sort of 8 or 9.
Right.
And then discovering that my brother reading the book and discovering that he had 2 or 3 of them on the bookshelf.
Okay. Mine's actually watching The Return of the Saint, although I didn't realise it, because when it was on, I mean, I'm 37, so it was it must have been repeated around at some point. I know it was on a Sunday because I was at my grand's, and the theme tune kind of stuck with me. So, but it wasn't until recently that I actually revisited, and I had seen a lot of the Roger Moore ones in the interim.
Yeah, you see, it's funny. I mean, I never really, until I started, dare I say, working on or with the Rogers series, you know, doing DVD extras for network and that sort of thing, I never really saw lots of Roger as a Saint. You know, for me, virtue of my age, apart from anything else, Ian is a Saint. Roger's Bond, for goodness sake. I'm 70s. But no, so it was always Ian, and I used to have great fun winding Ian and Bob Baker, the producer, and saying, it's your fault I'm in this mess, as it is, you know. Because it was well and truly that that got me into it. And it, you know, it wasn't a great leap from the TV show to the books, and once I found the books, I was gone, completely and utterly.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, you know, I personally, you know, people say, like they say, who's your favourite one? They say to me, who's your favourite Saint? Well, yes, it's kind of Ian because that's how I grew up. But sure. My real favourite Saint is the one in my head, because if you read those early books, it's just a classic.
Okay. I don't think I've got anything to add. Are you probably know quite a bit about Saint merchandise, do you?
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Was there an annual?
Yes.
Ah, good. Okay.
There was 3 or 4 annuals for Roger's series and 2 annuals for Ian's series.
Right, yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. I'm pretty sure I had an annual for Return of the Saint.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Back in the days when annuals were produced, they didn't do that anymore, really, do they?
No, there's only Doctor Who gets annuals now, I think, and possibly Shoot.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of, the world's moved on a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's strange that people kind of... I mean, it's not as if magazine and comic sales have gone down, because they've gone up, haven't they? Maybe a lot of it's been transposed into the graphic novel market, I don't know.
Well, I think an element of it has, but also I think a lot of it, you know, certainly a lot of the... more magazine-like articles you can find in them are just online now, aren't they?
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. Okay. Well, I won't keep you no longer, Ian. Thank you very much for being so patient with my poor organisational skills.
That's all right. You know, it's me, so I can't say anything.
It's been very interesting speaking to you. Please stay in touch as well if you have anything else
sure.
to share. That would be great. Thanks again. Thank you.
No worries.
Okay.